there will be no return to the old normal for the foreseeable future. But there is a roadmap to a situation where we can control the disease and get on with our lives. But this is going to require three things. First...
Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
So exciting that we got to see the WHO director that we got confused in the beginning.
Well, did he reassure you that things will be okay? I mean, it'll continue. We won't solve them, but they who know how to handle it.
Yeah.
And he'll protect our liberties and protect our pocketbooks and all that. What a tragedy.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it still bewilders me how the American people have allowed it to go this far. And they get, and the longer it goes, it seems more aggressive people get. I mean, just the other day, somebody didn't have their mask on, somebody comes in and maces them in their face. I mean, it's totally out of control. But we're doing our best to try to reassure people it's not quite as bad. Don't you think that's a safe thing to say? Not quite as bad as they've painted it. It's serious and there's people been sick. But now, the more I read, the more I think that it's even less dangerous than they said, because I came across this article. It was on Lou's site today, and had to do with the testing. And we've talked a lot about testing and how, you know, they fudge the numbers and they don't test sometimes and they're positive, and anybody who tests positive is infecting the world. But here's one that really opens it up to even being worse. And here, the title of it is Manufactured Pandemic, Testing People for Any Strain. That's the key. Any strain of a coronavirus, not specifically for COVID-19.
Yeah.
So can you imagine, what if there's two or three? What if there's 5 or 10 coronaviruses? What if it's just like a plain old cold virus and they haven't distinguished it? It's hard for me to believe that every once in a while there will be a scientist involved with CDC and WHO, but evidently not so. It looks like there are bureaucrats and politicians and people in the drug industry. So I don't know what we can believe. And I think Trump's right. He hasn't said any kind words for either organization, but of course he's up against the whole world, and that's sad. But here it is. If you do this testing, there's already been so many mistakes made, and they have fudged these numbers. They even don't even do tests on people. People are getting notices back that they've tested positive and they've never even had a test. So you would think this would wake people up and discredit this whole thing that's going on. But what if one person died and had COVID? Well, that'd be bad. How many people are going to die over the lockdown? And that's what's coming out now, what the tragedy is. You know, you hear a case here, a case there, students getting behind in a year, not missing school. But I'm thinking right now the more I see and understand it, like wiping out a generation of kids, you know, the way they terrorize the kids and scare them to death, and they've become very timid. And if they get locked in their houses, which some parents do, then all they do is develop mental problems. So this whole idea that get prepared, we don't have an answer, it's going to be here a long time, but we have a couple things that we can do. We can keep the really bad things happening from having better masks and better discipline and all this, more authoritarianism. And it looks to me like the number one cause of the pandemic has been authoritarianism, because we've had a lot of opportunity to study diseases and know what's going on, and on occasion a vaccine helps, but it looks like sometimes there's one article out today where it shows that doing nothing, they got over a lot and it had nothing to do, where the vaccines got credit, but the timing wasn't right. The vaccines came out after the epidemics had been closed. So there's a lot of false information. I get to this stage in almost all our programs that it seems like a struggle to really understand and sort out truth from fiction and then convey it to people so it's believable and convince them it's in their self-interest, their best self-interest for themselves and their family and the country and for the cause of liberty. But there's so many people now that have been terrified by it and they're scared to death, and that runs their whole life. It was, to me, disgusting. I've talked about baseball before, but I watched a couple minutes, but it was disgusting, of the opening. I don't even know who was playing, but it was on our TV, and I walked by, and here I could see the pitcher, the batter, and the catcher, and the umpire, and there, I couldn't see the other players on this picture, and then nobody in the stands, but the batter had a big mask on. Good night. I mean, I keep thinking, how long can this last? And according to CDC and WHO, what would they do?
Forever.
They'd be out of business. I'll bet they've enjoyed their life this past year, all the attention they're getting. And who knows, some of them have probably been able to make a couple dollars off the whole deal.
Yeah, I think you're using the right word, terrorism. It is a form of terrorism, and they've terrorized people, and it's what they do. But you know, these petty bureaucrats, people like this guy, all the mayors and even governors around the country, they've never had to keep a business open. So they have no idea what it means to keep a business open. They think you can switch the economy off like a switch. Oh, we'll turn it off for a few weeks and turn it back on. You probably saw this on Zero Hedge this morning, that Hertz is going to have to sell 180,000 cars to try to stay afloat. What's that going to do to the market in used cars and, you know, all the reverberations of things that they've done? But getting back to the WHO director and his, we didn't play the whole thing because, it's frankly pretty stupid, but never going back to the old normal. But here are the three things he said, three things we've got to do so that we can live with this disease. A, we have to suppress transmission. Well, what will that do? That'll keep it alive forever. Here's the 48th wave, shut it down again. That's number one. Number two, empowered, engaged communities that take actions in the interest of each other. That's a long way of saying put on your mask, you know. And the third thing is we need strong government leadership and coordination of comprehensive strategies. That's a $10 way of saying we need world government to tell everyone what to do. So you look into this guy, and it's well publicized. Who is he? Is he a doctor? No, he's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He's a politician. Oh, what party is he from? Oh, he's a member of the Ethiopian Communist Party. So the member of the Ethiopian Communist Party is going to tell us this is what we have to do to get back to normal. No, thank you. But it's a shame that people still listen to people like this.
You know, on this testing, they don't test for one thing and they know exactly what they're testing. It's just a group of viruses. Can you imagine how much effort has been put in to lockdown and the quarantines and the penalties people have suffered from this? And it's all based on what could very well be total fiction. Now, I know a lot of people will believe this. I happen to think it probably is very much true of this. But the problem is getting the scientific proof and say that everybody will be happy with. But that doesn't happen. Even if you have it, even if it's worthwhile, they could look into it. Why wouldn't a good reporter, if we had a few more Bill Sardis, that investigate this and look into it in an objective manner and then decide whether it's true or not? But you wouldn't see that on the television. I think Fox has done a little bit better job on being balanced on this and showing that there's an extremist element in making use of this pandemic, you know. But just think, what if there's 25 viruses that they're trying to measure, and this article claimed they don't distinguish between the two. So everybody's going to be positive if you search long enough and hard enough. And then this whole idea, they don't know for sure when the infection occurred, whether somebody's infectious, and then they have the lockdown. Well, okay, I guess I have to go and punish myself for 14 days, and I'm going to save the world. And it's a shame that we fear the fact that we try to point this out and that they'll say, oh, you guys are just making fun of it. This is serious stuff. Yeah. I think it's serious stuff too, because somebody could truly be sick, and you ought to be it's serious stuff because the treatment is overwhelmingly worse than the cause, and that is the lockdowns or stuff. And just think of all the economic you've already mentioned, like the automobiles.
Yeah.
That's related to that. It's also related to the malinvestment of the financial bubble from the Fed. But the combination here, so if you were in the planning business to cause street violence, okay, we have the Fed has created this, but we don't, everybody likes the Fed because they print the money, so we can't say much about it. Oh, we'll use the coronavirus and we can scare everybody on that. And then they say, well, we need a racial point to here. So, oh, this is a time to let people know how strongly they have organized Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they're a lot stronger than I ever dreamed. That isn't all spontaneity, you know, what's going on. And they have the perfect make to make for just to terrorize the nation. And unfortunately, I don't see an end to this, except we have to believe that if people know the truth, they will act differently. And I think that will happen. But as the saying goes, people regain their sanity one at a time, where they go nuts in mobs and herds. And so I think that people are returning. But, you know, I've used this as an example, which would discourage my statement, and that is, when they had after 9/11 a TSA, that was just going to be temporary because we got to make sure nobody got hurt. Well, nothing happened after 9/11.
Yeah.
No other play went on, and yet TSA still ran, tougher than ever, more embarrassing than ever, very very expensive, and boy, they are up front here. The experts, WHO CDC, they're all right on target with this. So that means no loafing on the job.
Yeah.
We got to keep going on this, and just hope that we get more people thinking about it. Of course, we have to be very thankful for our viewers and our audience, because we've had some good friends out there doing their very best.
Well, people are wanting to hear something different, you know, but the flu, you know, listening to the director of the World Health Organization, this is something like never before. We can never go back to normal. This is unprecedented. Well, look at this next clip. Here's just an article I pulled at random, just general. Anyone can look this up. Regular old flu kills 646,000 people worldwide each year, according to a study. That's just year in and year out, sometimes a little better, sometimes a little worse. So then this COVID outbreak must be orders of magnitude worse than that if we can never go back to being normal. So let's look how much COVID has killed. Oh, it's almost exactly the same as a normal flu, 653,424 as of this morning it's killed. So how can he get away with saying we can never be normal again? This is unprecedented when it's basically just a standard flu outbreak. Tragic, terrible for those families. Unfortunately, it happens every year. That's just how it is.
And it looks like they're going to continue, because I do believe, matter of fact, they may, even some of them, they probably can brainwash themselves and talk them into doing, the Lord's work, because they really believe this, and they hear too many other people. If everybody agrees, it must be true, so their job is just to promote it. And, of course, some know better, and that is really the disgusting part about it. But there was another thing related to this, was the Defense Health Agency sent out a notice, I think it was on Saturday, by mistake. They sent out 600,000, notices to their, I guess, the people.
Military,
their military, but it actually, Humana runs it for TRICARE.
Oh, yeah.
So it's government and, it's the insiders doing it. But you'd wonder, how's that is? Is this just plain stupidity? Does it enhance their position any? But it tells you how easy it is to, I don't think, now that they admitted it, most people, a lot of people, are going to read a headline, and they're not going to see the retraction. They say, this is really, really serious. But what they were writing for, they were asking these people, we know you've had the virus, but it's okay if you still want to donate blood. And it was totally absurd. And yet, I'm afraid, when it sounds official, there's a lot of people who will just increase their anxieties and support for what they're trying to do, and they get angry at people who don't capitulate and say, if we don't all wear a mask to bed and every place else in the world is going to come to an end. So I'll know when this is over, when everybody can go outdoors and play baseball without them. And that one group that was maced, they were having a picnic. And somebody comes over and just anger out of it. Yet, even if half truth, that maybe somebody there did have it, what she did isn't going to help her. Why doesn't she go home? If she's unhappy out there and can't stand people to be so relaxed that they're having a picnic in this crisis time, boy.
Well, we were driving the other day, and someone was driving all over the road. They almost hit our car, and I looked over. Of course, there's the mask. She probably was having hypoxia. But, you know, last week at this time, it seems like only a week ago, because it was, the big thing was the Sun Belt spike. Oh my gosh, we got to cut Texas. We got to shut it down again. Governor Abbott was on the verge of shutting it down again at the behest of people like Lena Hidalgo in Harris County and the others. But all of a sudden, there's something interesting happening in the Sun Belt spike. Let's look at this next one. This is from this morning, Dr. Paul. There was definitely a peak. At least at this point, mid-July, it is steadily going down. Daily new cases, even new cases. Interesting, now it's going down in Florida after Trump said we're going to cancel the Republican convention, right? So that makes you wonder. Now it's okay. Let's do the next one, because we should go through Arizona's hospitalization and new cases way down since a peak in early July. Remember, that was a nightmare scenario. It was terrible. Let's look at our own Republic of Texas, daily new cases. We'll use their terms, daily cases, going down, peak mid-July, and this is the ramping up that we talked about where everyone was classified as COVID. Even that is going down. Let's look at a couple of things closer to home here. Here's the epicurve of cases over time in Harris County. Lena Hidalgo's digs. Uh-oh, what's Lena going to do now? The epicurve is going way down. She's going to have to do something else. And one more, Dr. Paul, because we followed the Texas hospitalizations. It's very important. This is the Texas Medical Center in Houston. And here are their hospitalizations, their daily COVID-19 hospitalizations, and the seven-day trend down, down, down everywhere. But that is not discouraging governors from getting even more tyrannical. Let's look at the next one from our friend Thomas Massey, whose tweets everyone should read because they're also very interesting and humorous. Kentucky, look at the chart. Kentucky is down to zero. Zero deaths per million almost. And here's Thomas Massey. Kentucky's governor is proposing more lockdowns. But can this curve get any flatter? Two-thirds of these deaths are from within nursing homes. Kentucky's unemployment is above 40%. The governor should work on flattening that curve. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Right. You know, they must have good health habits. They're better than anybody imagined. They must not be following the governor and his cronies, you know, the liberals, on what you have to do and depend on all this regulation and all. But if you know, Thomas, maybe they're following Thomas. Maybe he has a lot of leadership. You know, he did much better in the election than a lot of people predicted.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's sort of one of these people that, knowing him, I'll bet he knows about vitamin D and a little home care, you know, this. So maybe, but he, that might be a reflection that people are that way. This might be very good news, more than just for Kentucky. Maybe this is a sentiment that's going to spread, because the noise from the bureaucrats and the politicians makes, they're still on the top of that curve.
Yeah.
But the truth finally will set in, and that's when more and more people are going to just chuck their masks. You know, and now people are getting a little firmer and saying, you know, asking the right question. Where's the law that tells you to do this? Is this a law? No, the governors can't write laws. Yeah. The mayors can't write laws, but they can intimidate. You know, one thing that's really disgusting is even a mayor has a lot of power, and city officials have a lot of power, because there's this thing which is unlibertarian, is the licensing.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a license to do everything. And so they say, all right, you're a hairdresser. If you don't do what we say, we're going to take your license away. You know, what, you really need a license to have a barber, don't
yeah.
you? You know, so, matter of fact, the libertarian, the good libertarian, can make the case for the medical licensures as not being very freedom-oriented and actually... The first thing people say, well, you don't care about your patient. No, I would say that the medical profession and the AMA and these other groups, they're not very good at protecting, you know, free market medicine or medicine in general.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you talk about masks and whether masks work. You know, our friends at Zero Hedge, they've been pretty hysterical at times about the COVID thing, I have to say. But we do continue to read them. We try to get through it. But today the big thing was Hong Kong. Oh my gosh, there's a huge spike in Hong Kong. They got to shut the whole place down. There was no news about the Sun Belt because it's doing better. Now it's, oh my gosh, Hong Kong, Hong Kong. So I'm looking at it. What's going on? It must be terrible. Two people died, one in the 90s and one in the 70s, and they're talking about shutting it down. But here's the other question that it brings up about masks, because people in Hong Kong, there is an increase in cases in Hong Kong. That is for sure. You can look at the chart. But the real question is, hold on a minute. 99% of people in Hong Kong wear masks. They were happy wearing masks. In fact, just in May, Vox.com wrote an article about what a great success Hong Kong was because everyone wore the mask and they suppressed the virus. In Hong Kong, nearly everyone wears a face mask in public. But almost as soon as the outbreak first began, millions of residents started wearing masks in public. One local said the government didn't even have to say anything before 99% of the population put them on. Experts now say that widespread mask usage appears to be a major reason why the city hasn't been devastated by the disease. That was in May. They continue to wear their mask, and guess what? The cases are going up anyway. So masks, do they work? No, they delay the inevitable, which is a virus spreading through society.
But they may work for the people who are really excited about having it, because chaos is a goal of some, and they're not actually concerned about the health of the people, and it works in that sense. They accomplish what their goal is, and what other industry has done well. They've got a lot of money, and they're trying to prepare and have the perfect vaccine, and yet most people right now don't believe the vaccine is going to be available maybe next year or so. And but even if they, by that time, you know, the coronavirus, 19, that's probably going to be gone. But that's why that you always hear there could be more. It could be more. So we have to be prepared. And I think they'd be very discouraged if everybody decided that hydroxychloroquine taken as a preventative or very early on at a very nominal price would solve the problem. Boy, where is the interest? That is so disgusting.
Yeah.
You know, that drug's been around for 65 years. And there's a lot of drugs. Fortunately, you know, we have moved away from prescription for some of the common things. I remember the first prescription I ever wrote out of medical school was hydrocortisone cream. Well, you can buy it by the gallons now. But so that did. It got out. So this is the whole thing. People can, you know, figure this out, and they will want to run and control and have this power. But ultimately, you know, common sense should overrule, and we get bits and pieces and glimpse of what it's like, and things do get better. But right now, our major hurdle now is the hysteria that is persisting in many places, getting worse. At the same time, we're getting better numbers of people who are waking up and say, hey, this whole reaction may be a hoax. It didn't need this, and it's actually made things worse. And they're not following the Hippocratic Oath. We're supposed to remember, first, do no harm. I would say that they haven't accomplished that at all. They've done a lot of harm.
A lot of harm. Well, now with the cases even going down in the Sun Belt and other places, the question that we would have is, what are the petty tyrants going to do next? What are they going to start claiming next? Well, I think I may have found, Dr. Paul, the answer to that. And let's look at that next clip. They're going to go to war against, put on that clip please, chicken wings. Governor Cuomo of New York is furious because he doesn't want bars to be allowed open, because apparently you can catch corona in a bar having a drink, but you can't catch it having a meal. So some of these bars are offering some food and saying, hey, we're not a bar, we got some food, you know, food and drink. He said, no way, you can't. Chicken wings are not food. How dare you? And that's not even it. Here's another tyrant over on the West Coast, Governor Newsom. Let's look at the next clip. Beware the COVID. This is from the Daily Mail. Beware the COVID menu police. California cracks down on outdoor restaurants with new rule that requires customers to order a meal with alcohol. And wings, cheese sticks, calamari, and fries are not meals. So corona will only get you if you're having a drink and not a meal. There's the answer from the trust the science is what they say, right? Here's the science. You know, there's some good chicken wings in Houston that they better not crack down on. I just want to remind everyone that we're going to have our thanks to our super chatters after this. We're going to roll their names of people over the past week who've donated in the super chat that goes on during the show. It's kind of a neat coffee club that happens, and we appreciate you very much helping keep the show alive and keeping us expanding. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe to our channel and hit notifications so you'll know when the shows are up. And finally, Dr. Paul, I would say, people who want to find a way to break this tyranny, a good suggestion would be, if you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear one, you know, because that's how it stops. When you start seeing people without masks on, more and more people, and I've had it happen in the grocery store, people will look at me without one and they'll pull theirs down. This is the only way we're gonna, you know, defeat this. Everyone has to do, of course, what they think is right. That's not necessarily right for everyone, but for some people, it might be the way to go. But anyway, thanks very much. Thank you for all the super chatters last week for keeping us going, and hopefully we'll be able to continue. Dr. Paul?
Very good. I have a member of my family that is a public school teacher, and she just told me yesterday that they will be opening school on the right time, but the first 3 weeks will be remote, you know, computer. But after 3 weeks, they think everything will be ready and they'll be all going to classrooms. That's a little bit of a hint. At least they're moving in that direction. But you can just imagine, you know, the atmosphere in Houston, Harris County is not the greatest. That, you know, there's still going to be a lot of restrictions and a lot of checking and regulations that you'll have to follow. And there'll probably be distancing and masks in different places. But anyway, it looks like some of these schools will open up. But I think there'll be more of what happened with Walmart. You know, the story about Walmart. They say every Walmart store, everybody wears a mask. All customers, everybody works there. Boy, and that was really horrible. It lasted for 3 days. And guess what? The market spoke, and they said they didn't want to have it. It was disgusting. So Walmart admitted it. Nobody follows us. And how do you enforce it? So that was, a little bit of disobedience, but the nonviolent type. So that's what we need. But no, the answer to all this, whether it's the mask or distancings and quarantines, it's almost always can be worked out with voluntarism. That anytime two people come together or two groups, that it is done in a voluntary manner. Both sides have to agree. That's why markets work so well. It used to be in economics that one person, if there was an economic transaction, one person would benefit and the other person was injured. That's not true. If it's voluntarism, somebody wants to exchange this for that and they do it, both sides are happy. And that's the way it should be in social matters too. That's the way it should be with religious matter and sexual matters and everything else. Rather than having these bureaucrats writing all the rules and changing our languages, changing biological definitions where nobody knows. I mean, it'd be tough to go to medical school these days and try to figure out, well, am I going to be a gynecologist or what am I going to be? Well, you have to be open-minded. Well, I'll tell you what, it is a mess, but let's hope that we're moving in the right direction with the information we give you. And once again, I want to thank everybody for being supportive and coming to our program. And please come back soon.